Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. Welcome everyone back to our continuing series with Dr. Florence Byam Weinberg, and she's the author of 11 wonderful books. You can get 8 of them. You'll be able to get all of them soon, and all under the same website and the same place that you'll be able to see her in a documentary. And she's wonderful. I was just looking at previews of it earlier, and it's really beautiful. She comes across so wonderfully, and just wonderful. We'll let you know when that should be out. Should be out in a month or less, and we'll be able to tell you where to go to watch it. Very important. I said to her off mic, and I'm not a flatterer, a very important figure in my mind, and to make a historical record of a historical time isn't a bad idea to do. And my words, not hers. A very important lady here. Again, Dr. Florence Byam Weinberg. Welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. I'm happy to be here. And I'm happy that you were there, because you're on Long Island, and that's very close to the center of the worst outbreak of COVID-19.
Yeah,
and things are much better here, but they're not good.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. I don't remember what when this happened, but a friend of mine, I don't know if this was the last time we spoke or after, in between us speaking now and then. But I have a good friend of mine, and he's someone I work with. He lives alone, and he's in Brooklyn. And you talk about the epicenter of the virus. Brooklyn is there, and he, and I could say this. He's a dear friend, but 2 days before this hit him, he was saying, "I can't believe it." He's an intelligent guy too. I don't know what he was thinking. But he said, I hope some imaginary doctor comes up with an imaginary cure for this imaginary virus before it becomes an even bigger imaginary pandemic. And I said, you're out of your mind. What are you talking about, imaginary? There's nothing
right.
Imaginary about this. And lo and behold, I mean, as if karma was listening, 2 days later, he texted me and said, it got me, and I'm devastated. And he said, I left a note for you. I told my roommates if I die. Now this is the guy who ran a marathon 2 years ago. I don't think he's going to die, but he said if I die, they're going to contact you if that's all right. And I want you to contact my mother, and my sister. I was like, oh my God, you got to be kidding. And,
oh wow.
Yeah, and he's not doing well, but he's not dying. That's for sure. But the other day,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, he said the one thing that helps him is Tylenol, extra strength Tylenol, and he was out of it, and nobody had it to deliver. So I drove in from Eastern Long Island, took me about an hour and a half, and I tossed it over his fence onto his steps, and waited for him across the street, in my car, uh-huh. Waiting for him to get it. It took him 3 times to pick it up. He looked like he was 80 years old, and he's 54 years old, right? He looked like he was in. By the way, he doesn't look like you look at 80. He looks like, somebody who could hardly move at 80. He finally picked it up and waved and went up, and hopefully he's getting a little better. That being said, that's the epicenter of what's going on is in, well, I guess Italy is, but in America here, Brooklyn is terrible. Didn't mean to go off on all of that, but just figured give some.
Well, I mean, people are anxious to know what's going on, and that's certainly what's going on. Here in Texas, I think the bigger cities, Dallas and Houston, are the ones with the worst outbreak, but there's an outbreak here in San Antonio. But fortunately, we had a very smart Mayor Nirenberg, who decreed early on that we shelter in place, and I've been sheltering in place since mid-March, maybe even before that. I think only a third of the month had gone by, and I began sheltering in place, and so far I've escaped. There are not that many people with it. I think around 200 by now in San Antonio is all, and out of those, I think maybe 10 or so have died. So it's really not that bad. But there are still those people here who refuse to shelter, who meet their friends, who have drinking parties and God knows what, believing that it is a fiction because they believe their president.
Wow.
And,
crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that is.
And so they're going to be stricken first, I think.
Yeah, well, like my friend, if he had that attitude,
right.
He was cavalier.
Yeah, he probably was not bothering to distance himself from other people, just assuming that it was all just hype and something to damage Donald Trump's prospects for re-election. That's, I think, what they believe. That's what Fox News is telling them.
Yeah, so, amazing. Yeah, no doubt. And that's what he was thinking. I mean, amazing. Let me remind folks, the voice you're hearing is the wonderful Florence Byham Weinberg, and she's a PhD, and she's the author of 11 books, and the subject of a documentary that'll soon be out, and we'll be letting you know how and when and the way to see that. She's absolutely wonderful. And, you know, you're absolutely right. That's what so many people are thinking and or were thinking. He said to me afterwards, a couple days into it, into his sickness, this guy that I was telling you about, he said, let people know on your radio shows that it's real, it's not a hoax. And I said to him, and I won't say his name, but I said, nobody thinks it's a hardly anybody thinks it's a hoax at this point. I said, you thought it was a hoax. He was like, yeah, but the president, in the beginning said this, and Sean, and I was like, Sean who? And he said, Sean Hannity. And I said, look, they're not doctors and, whatever. And I said, plus Sean Hannity apologized. I believe he's on some stations that I'm on afterwards, and I believe Sean Hannity apologized for calling it a hoax in the beginning. But I'll tell
really?
You. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, that's something. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he has the wherewithal to admit that he was wrong. That's very good.
Well, here's one thing I'm going to ask you, right? If you remember, and I'm not comparing it because that was that was like a hoax or whatever, but it wasn't a hoax, but it was a conspiracy. The Y2K and the speculation around Y2K, what was going on.
That was fiction. That was a hoax, all right.
Yeah. Now, when people in the position I'm in, I'm on 49 different outlets, around the country and a whole bunch of different folks, people that are in my position, many of them, got their ratings up by scaring the heck, the living hell out of people over what's going to happen and planes are going to fall out of the sky and this is going to happen and everything else. And all of these things were going to happen because of Y2K and the computer glitch and this and that. And they did it. And I'll ask you this one trivia question. Do you know how many journalists lost their jobs for being wrong about Y2K?
No idea. How many?
Zero. None. Not a single journalist or whatever. I'm calling him a journalist. That's not a journalist. A radio show host, a reporter. There is nobody that I could find historically, even the ones that promoted it like crazy. And this is before I was in the business. The people that scared the bejesus out of everybody saying this is it. This is going to happen. This is the end of the world. It's the apocalypse. All those people. It didn't happen, and nobody lost their job. And you know why? Is because the burden is not to be correct when you're in the media. The burden is to not be boring. It's to be entertaining. And, and that's where we go. Again, someone who's always entertaining, Florence Byham Weinberg, but she doesn't even try to be entertaining. She's just naturally entertaining. She's informed is what she is, and perfect person to be talking about this historic moment with is Dr. Weinberg. But react to that if you would. I mean, this is
the Y2K. Well, what amused me about the whole thing was that the fact that this was the turn of the 21st century was only in the minds of human beings. The rest of nature, all animals, birds, fish, everything, was totally indifferent to this. They were on a totally different clock. And, of course, mu- Mother Nature was on a different clock as well. Numbers, human numbers mean nothing to Mother Nature. So it was up to Mother Nature to decide to pay attention to the fact that in human calendars, it was a turn of the century. So what Mother Nature was saying. So that was my point of view at the time.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be correct. So,
yeah.
So that was...
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no question about it, a much different situation. But I wonder if the people that are in denial about this and that are just saying, oh, they're just trying to hurt President Trump and they're trying to hurt his reelection. You know, the people that are saying that, if there, I don't know how many people are still saying it, but some people are saying that President Trump's own doctor, right, his you know, Dr. Fauci, who I think is doing a wonderful job, by the way. I think he's doing an excellent job. He said we could expect to lose at least 100,000 people pass away from this virus in the United States alone. Now, that's significant, and that is a serious number, and he gave that out. And so I trust him. Unfortunately, I believe him that is a possible number that could happen. In your mind, do you see us losing that many people?
I fear that he may be right. I hope that people will wake up, those people who are still gathering in groups and not distancing themselves and all. I hope that they'll wake up and start taking care of themselves, because this is a matter of life and death. It truly is. And I believe what Dr. Fauci has to say also. And I suspect that our president may believe him too in his heart of hearts. But he always, one of his things to do is to say something outrageous or controversial every day so that he can capitalize on the news. And he'll be number one in the news day after day. It's very clever.
Yeah.
So whether it's negative or positive publicity, he's in the news, and there's no question about it. And if you compare that with Joe Biden and how often he's in the news, Trump wins hands down, doesn't he?
Yeah, there's no question. In fact, politically, from a political standpoint, and I've gotten to know President Trump before he was president. I got to know him pretty well.
Right.
And Joe Biden, I met him a couple of times, and one was at the White House Christmas party in 2013. The reason that he hosted and not President Obama and the First Lady was because President Mandela died 2 days before that.
Oh, right. Yep.
And so they were in, at that time, they were in South Africa, and President Obama gave the eulogy. So it was, it's a small, relatively speaking, small group of people. And I got to spend a little bit of time with Joe Biden. And, yeah, he didn't look like a grandstander there, even. He seemed pretty down to earth. And obviously, most of his day was taking pictures and posing for pictures with people. But when he let his hair down, he was, he was a pretty down to earth guy. And I there was some humility there too. I don't know that he's a spotlight guy, which is funny to say about somebody who's running for president.
Right. Yeah. I've always had that impression of him, that he was down to earth. He's one of us.
Yeah. Well, so, I think, from a political standpoint, he probably just has to wait this out. It's going to be him versus Trump at the end of the day, and the president will be judged on this. And it's in many ways it's unfair to judge him, but of course you're going to judge him on it. And the early words that the president had to say about that, he said he might have said hoax. He might have said the word hoax, but he gave that impression that it was overblown and it was media hype and all this. And that's going to come out and bite him. And if we lose 100,000 people, boy, there's no way he's getting himself reelected once the Biden people start playing that. I didn't want to get into the whole political end, but it is part of the landscape of this time period where we are here, and obviously people are going to be hearing us. We're pre-recording. People are going to be hearing us. We're recording on March 30th, 2020. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people listening back to this could judge what we say, whether we were accurate or not. And, you know, we're speculating.
Right.
That's basically all we can do on a situation like this, is to keep yourself healthy, try to help others and try to keep them away from other people. Distance yourself.
Right. Exactly.
And then take it from there. But let me just ask you one other thing, and I may have brought this up the last time we spoke. You know, the generation, and, you know, you knew, well, your parents were of this generation. The generation of World War II, those 18-year-olds were woken up, and they said, and again, forgive me if I said this before, but it's worth repeating, you've got to stop Hitler. You've got to stop the Japanese from taking over. You've got to stop the Axis powers. You have to go, you know, go and go overseas. Forget about your prom. Forget about whatever. Pick up a gun and stop Hitler, you know, and basically what the theme was. The 18-year-olds now are being told, look, to save society, you got to stay in. You got to watch TV. You got to watch some movies, but don't go out. Just don't go out. That's all they have to do, is don't go out. And I know it seems like they're sacrificing, and I know it seems like they're stuck at home, but in some ways I believe they're safe at home. Just your impression of the comparison between the 18-year-olds now, who I feel very bad for. You know, obviously, they're going to spend their senior year in quarantine for the most part. But the folks that were 18 years old in 1942, they were told to go kill Hitler, go stop Germany from the advancement. What's your thoughts on that?
Right. Well, and of course, my father was one who volunteered early on. He was a civil engineer, and so he got into the Army Engineers and was on the front lines in France through the Battle of France, right up to the Battle of the Bulge, where he was wounded badly enough, so they sent him home. He survived the war, but not long. But in any case, yes, there is a big difference, because the enemy is a very different enemy that the 18-year-olds now are facing. It's an unknown menace, similar to the Black Plague, because we have no cure. We don't know what to do about it yet, and it's a killer. It's not as sure a killer as the Black Plague, thank God, but it is a definite a deadly menace for those who don't pay attention. And I hope that most 18-year-olds are smart enough to take care of themselves and not expose themselves to this very sneaky enemy that we're facing. The World War II people knew that this enemy was human and should be stopped and could be stopped and was stopped. So the situations are very different. I think it may take courage to quarantine yourself, isolate yourself, shelter in place, and not go with those who would say to you, another friend, 18-year-old friend, say, oh, poo, let's just get together and have some beers. And you would have to say, no, thank you. I'm sheltering in place. I don't want to risk my life. And risk the ridicule of others who are not taking it seriously.
Yeah. How about masks? And again, another reminder, Florence Byam Weinberg is the author of 11 books, and she is our guest once again. And we'll be having a part two right after this, so don't go anywhere. And we've got about 2 minutes left. Are you wearing masks? Are you going to that extreme?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Are you wearing a mask? Are you wearing gloves?
No, I am not wearing a mask here at home. I am tempted to, as things get worse in San Antonio, I probably will wear a mask to go to the grocery store and the pharmacy. But here in the house, no, I'm not wearing one.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't expect people to wear them in the house unless there were others there.
Right.
But the pharmacy, I would definitely wear one, and I would wear them in the store. I'm not. I'm being a hypocrite here, but I certainly should be, and I'm getting to that point. Dr. Weinberg, stay right where you are. We're running up against it. Wait right there. And to everyone, Dr. Florence Byham Weinberg has been our very special guest, talking about the coronavirus. What else? And again, on this day, and it is a Monday, and I say it for the historic record, March 30th, and it's 2020, the year and the start of the COVID-19 virus. And it is, she's right, Dr. Weinberg is right. It is an enemy we can't see, and it is much like the Black Plague, and unfortunately, so many people are finding that out the hard way, and we're all at risk. Everyone, stay a good distance from each other, social distancing, especially in those, all of us, actually. Anybody who's listening to this all over the country should be doing the same. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.